Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me if you've already been listening. Thank you for that. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Judith Glaser is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's a new friend. She's the author of a couple of books. One of them I'm holding in my hand called The DNA of Leadership. It's the one we're going to talk about today, folks. Leadership is a very important topic. You know that if you've listened to this show for very long, you know that we spend a lot of time talking about that. Her other book, the one just before this, was voted one of the best business books of 2005, and that's the book's called Creating We. And she's an executive consultant and coach and the CEO and president of Benchmark Communications. Judith Glaser, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on another great book.
Thank you. I don't know if you know this, but it took me 9 years to write the first one.
I believe it. I didn't know it, but I believe it.
Yeah, that's why when I hear congratulations, it makes me feel so good to hang in and make it happen.
A lot of people don't realize that a book has a gestation period like a baby, doesn't it?
It does. And actually, when I first started to write the first book, Creating We, and by the way, DNA took me 3 months. So I went from 9 years to 3 months. That's good news. But the time wasn't right. We got so many rejections. I mean, I can't tell you how many times we wrote 20 proposals and got almost contracts. And people just said, that idea of Creating We is just, it's too touchy-feely, or it's too, you know, and they just got scared.
Well, even though the book we're here to talk, that you brought today is The DNA of Leadership, I would like for you to tell us about what you mean by the concept of Creating We, because it really connects directly to the leadership book.
Yes, it is. It's the foundation, in fact, for what I'm trying to talk about in the other book. And that is that it's so easy in hierarchical companies, whether they're large or small, where there's a boss and people who report up, it's so easy for people to fall into a habit of power over others as the definition of leadership. We've been taught that you can tell if you're a good leader if you look behind you and you see all these people following you. But in the world, that's not the kind of leadership that we want now in today's world.
Well, the 20th century was the official, in my opinion, was the official end of the dominator model of leadership.
That's right.
The 21st century is the beginning of the partnership model of leadership. What do you think?
That's right. Partnership, fellowship, it's a stewardship. It's a whole different thing. I call that power with others,
right.
where you're actually growing people's power. You're not saying there's not enough and therefore here's mine and here's yours. It's a completely different concept about synergizing with others and leveraging talent with others as opposed to feeling like you have to divide it up.
Well, and there's a success is an infinite commodity. I mean, you can just create it out of thin air, and the key in the 21st century is not to help your people to hire people to help you be more successful. Is to aggregate the success of others, isn't it?
That's exactly right. In fact, the old model was that you have to look up to your boss, and that if you please your boss, then you're going to be able to do well in the workplace and get rewarded. We're now saying that the center of the universe in any company is the brand and the enterprise.
Yep.
And we all have to focus on creating environments where we can bring out the best in each other. That's the mutual success partnering model.
One of the things, the DNA of Leadership, your new book, is the reason I'm so excited about it for you, Judith, is because you talk about some of the important keys of leadership. And I think if somebody said to me, okay, how could you fix a lot of the ills of the marketplace and government around the world right now, if I could give you, you know, a truckload or a trainload of one trait, what would you load it up with, and so we could give it to everybody? I would say leadership.
Absolutely. And what we've done is we've taken leadership and we've broken it down. We feel that the meaning of it has to be redefined, and so we've given leaders handles. We call them genes, to start to think differently about how to think about their leadership.
Well, talk to us about some of these genes that you've identified, these leadership genes.
Okay. The first gene we call community. And we went back in and studied sites, Neolithic sites, where I was an archaeologist for a while. Mm-hmm. We went back and studied communities to see what is the essence of leadership. And the idea of building a community, of thinking about your organization as a community, is the first aspect of true leadership. That's how to embrace everybody inside of an enterprise, and inclusion is the key there.
And you know, Judith, I don't know if you agree with me or not, but one of the things that I've discovered about myself and about others is that one of the best ways to have a good grounding and a good understanding of community is to actually have multiple communities. Because I think if you think of where you are as being part of a community, that gives you an opportunity to be a little egocentric about your community. Mm-hmm. And if you've got multiple communities, and when I say multiple, I mean I may have three or four business communities. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, I actually think that what you're talking about is the essence of, again, what the book is all about, is that we can't force people to join. And that's, again, an old way of thinking. You can't force people to join and say you're part of a community. People have to be inspired to do that. And having respect for the variations inside of an organization, it goes down even to the level of functions loving each other. In other words, mm-hmm. I'm in marketing and I'm in sales. And in the past, those were silos. Those communities didn't get along with each other, right?
That's right.
They were at odds with each other. And so if you can respect and define all the different cultures and the communities inside of your organization and start creating conversations about how they can support each other for mutual success, it's extraordinary what starts to happen in companies.
Well, and see, I'm so glad that you're talking about this, Judith, because what happened in the past in leadership was that leaders led their people to do what they wanted them to do, right. which in the marketplace was to sell stuff to people who didn't have a lot of options.
Yes.
Today, consumers, our customers, have not only have a lot of options, they have an almost infinite number of options, and you can't manipulate those kinds of groups. You've got to lead them to try to get them to join your community, don't you?
Exactly, and form partnerships. In the past, the old model of cultivating customers was selling to them, and often selling them things that they didn't want. We talked about
that's
buyer's
the manipulation.
Remorse. Exactly, manipulation. Mm-hmm. And instead, people inside of companies have to think of customers as partners for life, not just for one product or one sale.
If you're like me, Judith, and we're going to a break here in a second, you actually can see the companies who still don't get it still see them trying to manipulate people, the customers. They still don't get it. And I feel like I'm watching dinosaurs when I see that. We'll come back. We got more leadership genes with our new friend Judith Glazer right after these messages. It's 20 after.
And then the man steps right up to the microphone. He says it lasts just as the time bell rings. I knew that I would not.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our new friend, Judith Glazer. She's a new friend, soon to be longtime friend, because she's now a member of our Brain Trust. Judith, we're glad to have you as part of our community.
Jim, I am thrilled to be part of your community.
The DNA of Leadership is the new book, folks. Leverage your instincts to communicate, differentiate, and innovate. I like that word, differentiate, which I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But before we do, I want you to tell us how we can find your book.
You can find my book by going two places. One is to my website, which is www.creatingwe.com. Or you can go directly to either local bookstores, or most of all, if people will be willing to buy it on the 16th of March.
On the 16th? What if we can't wait? What if we just have to have it right now?
If you have to do it right now, then just do it. Go to Amazon and pick it up. I'll tell you, though, if you can wait to that date, we're going to give a whole bunch of free downloads to people.
Oh, I like that.
Right.
So mark your calendars, folks. But if you just can't wait, go ahead and buy it and call me and send me an email, and I'll see if I can wiggle some of that free stuff out of Judith for you later on. Okay. The book is called The DNA of Leadership. I like this word, differentiate. Thank you, Judith, for putting the word differentiate on your book. Do you know how many people wouldn't do that? I just think that one of the keys to success, if I could get somebody to tattoo a slogan on their palm of their hand to look at every day, it would be the word differentiate. What do you think?
Tell me why you love it, because I know I love it, but tell me why you love it.
Because it's the key to success in the 21st century. I mean, yes. and it's the key for small business success, because we have an opportunity. Not only must we differentiate if we're going to survive, but we actually have an opportunity to differentiate better than the big box companies do.
That's right. That's right. In fact, if you look at entrepreneurism, and I know that's one of your favorite subjects, you find that these small companies who start to think differently and come up with a new way to spin their value in the marketplace,
yep,
always grow tremendously and can compete even against some of the big companies.
Well, and see, there's nothing new under the sun. There are everything. I mean, I know, folks, this sounds a little bit like hyperbole, but it's not much hyperbole. Everything that you can see, hold, and receive is a commodity, except for the way you deliver whatever it is you sell.
That's right.
And you got to differentiate yourself. Now tell us how the leadership genes that you talk about in your book, tell us how those help us differentiate.
First of all, we know that when people are fearful in the workplace, that in fact they start to retract from bringing the real selves, their true selves, their identity, who they are, into the marketplace. So the book is to help leaders downregulate fear. And once you do that, it creates an opportunity for people to have conversations at a level they've never had before. We call them generative conversations. That's when
say that again. What kind of conversations?
It's called generative.
Generative, okay.
Generative conversations, where people start to have conversations where they start to link in new ways, connecting the dots, all of the things that they have as their assets, whether it's their talents, whether it's the way they look at the world. Once you start to think generatively and look at things generatively, that's without fear, these combinations, these new differentiators start to appear that were never visible before. And that's the key. It's how to have conversations that bring out and allow us to connect dots in new ways.
Do you think that this is something that's building in the marketplace, and that more and more business owners are going to be having these conversations with each other?
I think those who do will be the ones that not only survive, but they're going to start to shape what the marketplace looks like.
Right. Through strategic alliances.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly right. It's really saying when we work together, when we work with each other in this generative way, that all of a sudden we're going to understand that we have more power than we ever thought we had before.
And that's a big key to success for small business, because, folks, we'll never, as long as we're small businesses, we'll never be able to outspend, advertise, market, whatever, the big box companies. We can only, the power for us is in the differentiation.
That's right. That's right. And when we work with Donna Karan, which is, you know, a big designer, when they were
right.
launching...
I love her. I love her dresses. I have many of them myself.
Yeah. Her stuff is amazing. But we were helping, that's very funny. We were helping her launch her cosmetics. And they didn't have a lot of money to spend in the marketplace against Estee Lauder, by the way, that owns them now. But and so what we did is we came up with this generative conversation. We had people who were selling her products, her salespeople, tell stories about how Donna Karan started her or discovered the fragrances, and how her fragrance smelled like the back of her husband's neck or red suede.
That might be a little too much information there for me,
Judith. Listen, you know, she's got this sexy allure, you know.
You were doing pretty good till you got to the back of her husband's neck. You lost me there, Judith.
This is what she talked about.
I got you, okay.
Okay, but what was cool is that they didn't have any money to spend in the marketplace, but these stories, these generative stories of, you know, how it was to be part of the inside discovery of these products, that's what they used as currency. They never thought of doing that before, and wow, did this create a stir in the marketplace.
And small businesses can do that,
that's
and
right.
by getting their customers to tell the story.
That's right. That's right.
That's the key, isn't it?
That is the key. That is the key. And then all of a sudden people feel like they're part of this amazing, winning, new thing that's happening, this hot and happening thing. You know, it's like it's got the stickiness that people love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think those are the kind of secrets that we wanted to give away in the DNA.
The DNA of Leadership by Judith E. Glaser. That's G-L-A-S-E-R. Judith, will you come back another day? We got a lot more to talk about.
Absolutely. It would be a treat for me, too.
Well, thanks, Judith. And tell us where the book's available again. Amazon and wherever books are sold?
Amazon and all the big bookstores.
And your own website is?
www.creatingwe.com.
Judith Glaser, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. We're not going to let her get away. We're like the Hotel California, Judith. You can check out anytime you want, but you can never leave. Quick break, right back with Rick Maurer. I'm Jim Blasingame. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administat.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.